Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, and please be seated.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
Good afternoon.
Bonnie Fatale on behalf of the SCO Group. Your Honor, we're here for one matter on the agenda, but before we do that, if the court would indulge us, we'd like the trustee to make a presentation.
It would be a pleasure. Thank you, Ms. Fatale. Mr. Kahn, good afternoon.
If the court please, Your Honor. This is another interim report to Your Honor. On Tuesday, March 30th, 2010, a federal jury in Salt Lake City determined that SCO did not own the Unix copyrights. I had previously reported to you that, in my opinion, SCO's claims against Novell were slightly better than 50%. I was in Salt Lake City for 4 days to observe the trial, and thereafter I received daily transcripts. I had several telephone conferences with the trial team during the proceedings. Our trial team was well prepared, as were our expert witnesses. The case was competently presented on both sides. I was extremely disappointed with the verdict because the evidence, in my view, preponderated in favor of SCO. Our trial team reported that court observers anticipated a SCO verdict. Prior to submission of the case to the jury, the court granted SCO's motion to dismiss Novell's slander claim for lack of evidence of damages, and the court denied Novell's motion to dismiss SCO's claim for punitive damages. The court found that SCO had submitted sufficient proof for the punitive damage claim to go to the jury. Attorney Fatale will report to you on our future recommendations as to how the issues before your court should be brought to a conclusion. Judge Stewart in Salt Lake City will be making several rulings which could affect our recommendations, and therefore we will not be in a position today to be definite about them. We will be filing a renewed Rule 50 motion for judgment as a matter of law, and in the alternative, a Rule 59 motion for a new trial. Also, Judge Stewart must decide in a non-jury context whether Novell can, in good faith, require SCO to abandon claims against IBM and others, and whether Unix and Unixware copyrights should belong to SCO under the equitable concept of specific performance. Judge Stewart is quite prompt, and we expect rulings in the next several months. He has set an aggressive schedule for filing briefs and requests for findings of fact and conclusions of law. Those are due April 15th, 8 days from today. I would be remiss if I did not call to your attention the remarks of Judge Stewart as he sent the jury to deliberate. He said, "One last thing, counsel. I'm very sincere when I say this. In the 10 years I have been a judge, I have never had a collection of such fine attorneys in the courtroom at one time. I want to thank you not only for your competence, but in particular for your professionalism. The way that you have treated one another and the way that you have dealt with court personnel and the court has been genuinely appreciated in a case that has been hotly contested and the stakes are very high. And you have acquitted yourselves extraordinarily well, and you do have the sincere gratitude of the court. Although the jury disagreed with SCO's position, I'm confident that the opinion I gave you that the case had merit and should be aggressively pursued was sound. I remain of the opinion that we should have prevailed. Unless you have any questions, this completes the interim report."
No, Mr. Kahn, I appreciate the report, and I know that you're disappointed in the result, and we'll see how things play out from here. Thank you. Ms. Fatale.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just to follow up on a couple of points in terms of where the case stands, as reported at the last hearing by Mark Fissler from Ocean Park Advisors, we have undertaken a restructuring of SCO to reduce costs, and that process is continuing. With the debtor loan and the cost savings, we anticipate that SCO will continue to operate and proceed with an orderly liquidation. In that regard, as the court is aware, we filed a motion to sell de minimis assets. We've also filed the motion to sell the mobility business, which is before Your Honor today, and we filed a motion to sell a patent, which is going to be heard on April 20th, I believe.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Since the trustee's appointment, we have had discussions with interested parties regarding sale of the SCO operating business, and we expect in the next few weeks that we will be working with OPA to prepare those assets for sale. We'll engage in a preliminary marketing effort, and hopefully we'll identify a stalking horse bidder and be before the court with bid procedures and a sale motion in due course. At the same time, as described by the trustee, we are continuing to address the various pending motions in the Novell litigation, and we are still assessing the estate claims against IBM. Unless the court has any questions, we'll turn to the hearing, the agenda for today.
That's fine. Thank you, Ms. Hotel. Let's do that.
Okay, thank you. Your Honor, there's one matter before the court. It is uncontested. There were no objections filed, and it's the motion of the Chapter 11 trustee to approve the sale of the mobility business free and clear of all liens and claims. I'm pleased to report to the court that upon filing the motion and advertising, which we'll go into in more detail in a moment, it did result in our receiving a competing bid.
Good.
And therefore, we did have an auction this past Monday on August 5th. Me Inc. Holdings, which was the original bidder, was the successful bidder at an increased purchase price of $100,000, up from the $35,000 that was in the original asset purchase agreement. Your Honor, in support of the motion, I'd like to proffer the testimony of Mark Fissler. Mark is here in the courtroom today.
Yes. Good afternoon.
And if called to testify, Mr. Fissler would state as follows, that he is the managing director of Ocean Park Advisors and was retained as the financial advisor and investment banker to the Chapter 11 trustee. The sale of the mobility business began in December 2009 when OPA, that's Ocean Park Advisors, met with Mr. Darrell McBride, who is the former CEO of SCO Group, to discuss Mr. McBride's interest in the possible purchase of the mobility business line. On December 15th, Mr. McBride delivered a draft letter of intent to OPA that outlined the relevant terms of a purchase of the mobility business. Mr. Fissler would further testify that he reviewed the letter of intent with the trustee, and it was determined that OPA should proceed to negotiate an asset purchase agreement. From December 15th, 2009 until January 15th, 2010, Mr. Fissler would state that he engaged in arm's-length negotiations with Mr. McBride on the salient business terms of the asset purchase agreement. While negotiating the terms of the letter of intent and the asset purchase agreement with Mr. McBride, OPA conducted a process to create competition for the assets to determine if Mr. McBride's offer represented the market value of the mobility business. Mr. Fissler would testify that the following steps were taken. After consulting with SCO, a list of 12 targets was compiled of persons and entities that might have an interest in acquiring the mobility assets. A teaser was describing the assets was prepared in concert with the company, and over a two-week period, all of the sales targets were contacted either via telephone, email, or both. While some of the targets contacted considered the assets for a period of time, ultimately none of them indicated an interest in pursuing the assets. Upon filing the sales motion, OPA placed an ad in the local papers in Salt Lake City indicating that the asset purchase agreement had been entered into for the sale of the mobility business and invited interested parties to contact OPA. Mr. Fissler would testify that between March 3rd and March 10th, OPA was contacted by three interested parties. They exchanged due diligence information, and of the three, one provided an OPA with a letter of intent and an associated deposit. After the letter of intent was received from the competing bidder, it was determined that it would be in the estate's best interest to conduct an auction, and the auction was scheduled and held on March 5th. Each party had, as I indicated, given a good faith deposit prior to the auction. Two parties attended the auction, Me Inc. Holdings, represented by Mr. McBride, and a company called Mobile Business Solutions. The auction was conducted telephonically, and a court reporter was present to record the proceedings. Mr. Fissler would testify that the original asset purchase agreement with Me Inc. was for a license of the intellectual property, and that the competing bidder wanted to purchase the intellectual property in its entirety, and consequently, prior to the auction, it was determined that the estate would best be served by selling the intellectual property as opposed to licensing it, and a minimum bid of $100,000 was set. That decision was explained to each of the bidders prior to the auction. There was a brief recess, and the parties were invited to submit new bids. When the auction reconvened, Me Inc. Holdings bid at the minimum amount of $100,000, and Mobile Business Solutions declined to bid. Me Inc. Holdings was declared the winner of the auction, and that would conclude the proffer for Mr. Fissler.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Vitale. Does anyone wish to cross-examine or be heard? All right.
Just give me one moment. To correct the record, Your Honor, apparently
Mr.
I stated
March,
the auction was in March and
yes.
It was in April. Thank you.
And I was about to just indicate that for purposes of the record, but it caused me to think for a minute.
It was this past Monday.
Yes.
With that, Your Honor, we would submit that the sale of the mobility businesses in the best interests of the estate is the result of arm's-length good faith negotiations and reflects market value. No objections were filed. There have been minor changes made to the APA, Your Honor, just to reflect the new purchase price from $35,000 to $100,000.
Yes.
And the new payment terms, there had been a provision in the agreement that provided for an income participation. That now has been removed since it's an all-cash purchase. There is also a new provision that SCO will license back the intellectual property for its internal purposes only. The APA also listed that there were two contracts that would be assumed and assigned. In fact, there's only one contract that will be assumed and assigned, and that's the contract with Franklin Covey.
Yes.
That's Covey. And there is no cure obligation due for that, Your Honor. Closing is anticipated to occur this Friday, April 9th, and the transfer of the assets will begin promptly and conclude within the next 30 days. And with that, Your Honor, we would ask that the court approve the sale of the mobility business to me.
All right, thank you. Well, I, based upon the evidence presented by way of proffer, I am satisfied that the marketing and sale effort was conducted in good faith and thoroughly, that the auction is certainly the best test of value under the circumstances. The terms are fair and reasonable and in the best interest of the debtor's estate. And I will be pleased to approve the sale.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have a revised order with just some minor.
Okay. Issues. Please approach, and I will look. Thank you, Ms. Vitale. Good to see you.
Your Honor, I think the changes are really only ministerial.
Yes.
So there are no substantive changes.
Excellent.
To the
okay.
To the order, rather.
And I assume that the revised asset purchase agreement should not be attached to the order. Is that
correct?
It
is not attached to the order, Your Honor. Once it's completed, we will file it of record.
That's fine. Great. All right. I've signed the order.
Thank you, Your Honor. That concludes our hearing.
All right.
Thank you very much.
It's good to see you all. I'll make special mention of Mr. McMahon, who hasn't been in court here for a while before me. It's good to see you again. All right, everyone.
Thank you.
I'm sure you have. I'm busy. We'll stand in recess. Good to see everyone. Good afternoon.